Okay, we continue in the Rambam, Perek Shivoso, the 17th chapter of Hilchos Malva Volova, Halacha Aleph. We continue to discuss different issues of inheritors being able to collect on loans. Okay, we got this different scenarios with fine lines in between them that we have to be careful about. Malva Shemes, if the lender dies, Uboha Yoresh Litboes Alova, and the inheritors now want to collect from the borrower, Bashtar Shalom, with a shtar that exists. So when you have a shtar ready, that's pretty powerful. Now we know, maybe you want to just close the doors, if the Malva was alive and he has a shtar, he just collects straight out. Even if the guy says, I paid, he collects straight out. The only thing is, if the Lova says, I want you to swear that I didn't pay you back, then he could force a rabbinic oath, but that's it. So that's the power that the father has. What power does the children have who inherit a loan with a shtar? So if the inheritor comes to collect, the children come to collect from the borrower, for Omar, and the borrower says, Parati lavicha, I paid back to your father. Now what can the inheritor say? I don't know what my father did. All I know is I inherited a shtar. I don't know anything more than this. So Omrim Lo, the Bezdin, says to the Lova, Amod Vishamlo, you gotta pay him. Finish. There's nothing more to talk about. Why? We don't force, at this point, the inheritors to make an oath, as the Gemara explains, that if the father could get it without an oath, right? The father just straight off can take it because the shtar speaks for everybody. So why would they have to make an oath either? Hold on. Okay. So, and the Lova is not believed to say, I paid it because, the shtar says you owe the debt. However, let's keep going. All right. So he has to pay. But if Omar Halova, but if the Lova would say now, Yishavali, swear to me that it didn't pay. Okay, now what would happen if the father was alive? If the Lova demands an oath, you can get an oath. If he doesn't demand, if the Lova just said I paid back, we ignore him. He has to say, I demand that you make an oath, you didn't receive it. That's what he could have done when the father was alive. Now what can he demand from the children? So if the Lova doesn't say anything, he just pays straight out as he would have had to pay to the father. But if Omar, if the Lova says, Yishov Ali, I want you children to swear to me that it wasn't paid back. Well, they obviously cannot make that oath because they can't swear to that. But they do have the document. So what can they swear? Hareza Nishba Benikitas Chayfetz, they swear an oath holding on to a Sefer Torah with an item of mitzvah, and the father would have to make such an oath too if he wanted to collect. So they're going to make an oath, but a little bit of a modified oath. They're going to make an oath as much as they're capable of making an oath. And what's that? One of three things, or all three things really. Number one, Shelo Pikadanu Abba Aidechar. First of all, our father never told us through another person that you paid us back. We didn't hear it from an agent of our father, Ushalom Erlana Abba Bafiv, and our father never told us you paid back. And also, Shalom Otsinu Bein Shtarasav Shal Abba. We didn't find a receipt or a Shishtar Zeperu. We don't have any evidence amongst all our father's documentations that have any receipts that he paid it back. That's what they are capable of swearing. In other words, we have no knowledge that this has been paid back in any one of these three scenarios, and Vagova, and they may collect. Because again, the truth of the matter is the shtar itself is really enough. The shtar is a very good thing to collect from because the override, stop frowning so much. I didn't finish yet. You already got the question, I didn't finish. Remember, the shtar is a very good thing that yells out, why does the Malva have it? Okay? And that is really pretty good. It's very good. And normally the guy has to pay. Only if he insists on an oath, it's to pacify to pacify the borrower. So now the children, now we're gonna, how do you wanna look at it? Well, the children can't swear they don't know that you pay back. Well, they can swear as much as they do know. We never heard anything about a payment. Now, the fact that they have the shtar alone, and that's the best that they could swear, well, that entitles them to collect. And this the rabbis in the Gemara call a shvuas yorshim. We understand that the people who inherit can't know as much as those who are inheriting from. But as much as they're capable of swearing, that is that they must swear. Because maybe they do know something about this. So to the limit, so we give the Yorshim a break, that they don't have to swear as much as the father would have to swear, but the fact that you got the shtar makes it very strong, and that will placate. Now, you're right. Could it be that maybe the father really did get the money, never told the kids? Yes. But the fact is, it then would seem unlikely the father would be holding on to the shtar. Now, what's the more reasonable thing to assume? Is it more reasonable to assume that the guy didn't pay back and is lying now, and that's why the father has the shtar? Or is it more reasonable to assume that the guy paid back and the father still has the shtar, and therefore we make the children swear to the extent that they're capable of swearing, and that's a shvuas yorshim? Now you could ask your question.
Sounds reasonable.
But we say that, like, there are some people who are very pious, they want to avoid an oath at all costs, even if they know they're right and they're telling the truth. So why not just say, look, I've got the shtar, I don't want to take an oath. Why would they have to take
it? Who? The lender? The who? Because the guy does claim, because the fact of the matter is he's making a claim against you. So now you've got to respond to his claim. This is going way back to the beginning. The fact is, what?
If they refuse to take an oath, yes.
Then you can't collect. This has so many cases. If Shelly, I go to you out of nowhere, and I say, Shelly, you owe me $100. And you don't owe me $100. Now you have to make a shvuas hesis, and if you don't, like to swear, I get to keep it. Okay, that's fine. The shtar is wonderful. Good. And that gives you a right to collect it. As opposed to if the milva al peh, for example, if you don't have a shtar, you could say all day the guy owes me, and the guy says, I don't owe you. There's nothing you can do about it. The fact that you give the shtar puts you in the driver's position to collect. That's already an amazing thing. And let's not worry about your frumkeit issues here. Let's talk about the law. The law says because you've got the shtar, you're in the driver's seat, and it's in your position to collect or not. And you're going to collect. And the guy really has to let you collect. Even if he says, I paid you back, you can collect. Because the shtar goes against, I paid you back. But if the guy now says, I demand that you swear it because I believe they have paid you back. Now you're going to keep it. Now in other words, shtar against him saying, I paid back, shtar wins. But the guy now has come with another claim. You're going to collect wrongfully. That's an additional claim that you got to answer to that claim. In which you can keep the money. But the guy's making a claim, so to satisfy, because he's claiming it. He's not saying it's not. He's saying, I gave you the money. And therefore, you've got to make an oath to get out of that. But the fact that you're in the, I'd rather be in the driver's position for me to be able to collect it. So if I want to be very religious, that's my cheshbon to be very religious. But you have this all the time. You want to be very religious, and you have to pay money if you want to be very religious. That's not the law. And that you're making it seem the guy, because he wants to be religious, and he's not willing to do it, the law is cheating him out. You don't have to be so religious. The law is take an oath. If you got nothing to lie, you're not sinning. You want to be super frum? Okay, super frum people have to pay for these things. Because in jurisprudence, the lender is saying, I paid you, I paid you, I paid you. Since when a guy comes with such a claim, you just get off by doing nothing. So you can't, doesn't matter.
Just the example from yesterday, the guy prepares a receipt in advance. Now, supposing the kids found this,
then there's a, so that's what we already spoke about these ideas yesterday. Didn't we say? I think we said with the kids. We talked about this, no? What did we say over there? I'm trying to remember what we learned over there. I don't remember offhand. But we said it won't help because the father a lot of times will do that. The father will, that doesn't mean anything because they don't know. They only know what they know. If it's a full-fledged receipt that's mukuyim with Adim, that's a different story. But if he just wrote it out, we'd have to go to the Edom. If they had in their possession a receipt that's verified with Edom, we'd have to go to the Edom and ask the Edom what the story is.
That's not verified.
My father never told me anything. So you'd still be able to get out of that. Rabbi Chanan.
Until midnight?
No.
Halachic midnight?
No. Okay, we're now in Halacha Beis. I've got to be very careful here. There's going to be some very subtle differences, and I already know there's going to be questions flying. There's going to be questions flying.
Where are they flying?
There's going to be questions. So let's look at Beis. So far we dealt with the Malva dying, the children collecting directly from the Lova. Now we take it one step further in Halacha Beis. Now, let's say after the Malva dies, and before the inheritors collect from the Lova, Meis HaLova. Now the borrower dies. Acher Shemeis HaMalva. After the lender dies. So now, Uba HaYoresh, the inheritors of the lender, want to leave Poreya Min HaYoresh to collect from the inheritors from the borrower. So again, so they already would be able to collect with the oath from their father's oath. Because remember, the father left them the ability to take an oath directly. This is very critical. This point I'm going to say right now is going to make a difference to what you're going to see in the next halacha.
Which father?
The father of the lender left the children a shtar that's collectible from the lova. Yeah. And now the only thing the kids have to do is, because the lova then comes back with a new claim back. Okay, so we have this oath they make. It's the inheritor's oath. But the father left them a good shtar, and really they didn't have to, he didn't leave them an oath per se. He didn't leave them to collect via oath. He left them to collect via shtar. They're just doing that oath afterwards to pacify the guy. It's very critical, this subtle point. So now even though the lova now dies after the malva dies, and now they're going to be collecting from the children, but still, they had that ability. The father died first. It was important. The malva died before the lova, so they really could have collected straight off of the lova. However, the lova died. So they're able to do the same thing they could have done if the lova was alive. So lo yiporeya, they can't collect ela bishvua, unless they make an oath. Now it's not that, now we're collecting against inheritors now. Now we have to be a little break good for the inheritors of the borrower as well. We give them a little break. So they can't just collect with the shtar.
Because they're not named in the shtar.
Right. But they're collecting from the kids who are at a disadvantage too. So ve'omrim lo, he changes it to ve'omrim lo. The Bezdin says to the children of the lender, tchila, they tell him first, that what Yeshava, you make an oath, and then you can collect.
The oath is like the oath we had before.
The same thing. Yeshava shalom pekado abba, that our father didn't tell us that there was anything paid back. Vishal amr lano abba, he didn't leave it with somebody else to tell us, or the father knows. Votzino bein shtarasa shalabba shtarasa, we don't find from our father in the documents lying in stock that he paid anything back. Now that's all they gotta swear. That's it. Because who died first? The lender died first, so the kids really could have collected right on with the lova. So they were in a good position. Now that the lova dies, okay, they go down one little position. And more than that, afilo hayerish katan, even if the inheritor of the lender was a little baby at the time, the father died. Hamutal barisa was in a little cradle. Kishemes morisho, when the father, the malva, died. And now there's nothing they can do now. We're going to have to wait 15 years. I mean, a lot of years till they grow up. Still, Hareza and Ishmael, they can still make the oath 12, 13 years from now when they can go through the documents. Now, they can't make the oath to say our father didn't tell us anything because they were little babies, or somebody else from our father didn't tell us, but they can say we looked through our documents so we don't have amongst the documents, and then they can collect still.
So
even though they're only swearing even less, they can't swear all three things. Our father didn't tell us, another guy named our father. They can't, those were little babies at the time. But they can do so. We don't see within the documents. Again, since they have that document and they had the ability to go straight on to the lova, so now the only thing we make it harder is that they initially have to make the oath to the inheritors of the lender.
So the estate has to wait until the heirs of the
are old enough to make the oath.
Right.
Until they're old enough to make the oath, because with can't make the oath, because why, for the inheritors of the borrower, they're entitled that you have to make an oath against
them. And if
them.
The borrower was still alive in the first case, and the kids were little...
Well, then that's going to be a whole different case. Then there's a different shvua that has to be made whenever you want to collect from inheritors of the borrower. It's a different type of oath that we push in right away. Whenever you want to collect from the inheritors, then we always impose an oath to benefit the inheritors, which is coming up shortly.
The loan was coming due in the near future. Let's see.
Well, it was due. It's not in the near future.
So the widow was relying on that money. But
I don't know anything about the widow now. So we're not talking about. Let's not complicate things with ksuvas. Well, then we have to put the widow into the. Well, we had Rehan Halachas before. You have an apotropis.
Yeah.
It could. She has to be fed. She gets fed anyway. Right, and if there'd be interest issue, remember we said we have to. That becomes a new thing in the equation that has to be balanced out. All right, it's complicated not without throwing in an almono over here. All right, now one more little. Now I've lost the place.
You're
totally.
Right here, right where the after
that's
the Yud Gimel. After
Yud Gimel, they turn back. Now one more halacha. But what if the following? In this case, in Tziva Mava, what if the lender, while he was still alive, but before he died, Bishas Misoso, the lender says to his children, Shishtar Za'ena Perua, that this get is not collected. Right? So now that's pretty good evidence.
That's a powerful
the witnesses that he said
that's as if the father made an oath.
Yeah.
Right? The father's talking about, remember, a deathbed confessions
that's
either
huge.
Way are very important. No one's lying when they're about to die. Just like he says, you know, I admit that I owe somebody money. Yeah. That's very powerful stuff. So even if he's saying it wasn't collected, you know, most Jews won't lie 5 minutes before they die. So that's very powerful that if the Malva says, I just want you to know, Chaim Yankel owes me $500, I've got a shtar, and he never paid me back. And we know that for a fact. Then Yipara Hayorish, the inheritors can collect below Shvua. They don't have to make an oath at all. Afilim and Hayorish, either from the even from the children who are inheritors, have to collect because that admission is extremely powerful.
They would just say that happened. It's not an oath, but they would just say.
They know. Well, it's knowledge. It doesn't. Yeah. That,
no, but they'd state that was.
Yeah.
There was a deathbed comment.
Well, I don't know. It could be we just know it. He could be said it to other people either.
That's what I'm saying. Is there witnesses?
It, the Rambam's not clear who he's saying it to. I don't know.
It doesn't seem reasonable to accept it without a witness because.
Well, what if the kid said it?
The kid
could just make it up. Then they don't have
again,
to
he's got a star.
Plus,
he's
got he's got the star. The star is. This puts him in a very good position.
Yeah,
that's all I'm saying.
Remember,
why didn't you take the shtar back? That is such a damning circumstance. Why did you not? You paid him back. Why didn't you ask him for the shtar? That's like 99% that's not paid.
No, I hear that. But before,
I don't know why you guys are having trouble with this idea. You're taking the loser's side. I don't get it. You know.
Yeah.
And now the kid said, and my father told me on his deathbed. So now we're going to assume the kid's lying. The person paid. You want to make a lot of assumptions, Chazal.
No, but before we...
You know, why don't you look at the other way? He won't pay. I like, look at it the other way. Why don't you look at it? You know what? He shouldn't pay. Why shouldn't he pay? Well, we ignore the shtar. We ignore the fact the kid's there prior to all that. I don't know why you want to assume the
he
other
just
side.
I don't know why you don't make an oath.
Because the father told him right before he died.
No, but before you made the kids take an oath.
Because they didn't know anything. They didn't know anything. They're
just
going to walk into.
Said it.
We would not assume that they're doing that.
It's easier to say, my father told me that. As opposed to taking it out.
You know what? If you don't have a star, then we'd be in trouble.
No, they have a star.
Well, they have a star that makes them in a very powerful position.
It's just a way of getting around the oath. Because nobody will know.
Okay, let's go ahead. Let's go on. Gimel. Now we get to a very tricky thing now. Now things are going to get much trickier, and it's going to be a very subtle shift that the Rambam won't really clearly explain it until Halacha Hey,
until
which
Sunday.
We might not
yeah,
get today. But
Rambam won't explain it until Sunday.
But she'll be happy because now they don't got to pay this next case. Okay, let's look at Gimel. Now, interestingly enough, right now, so what was the order? What was the order here? The lender dies first, then the borrower dies. So what, when that happens, when the lender dies first, the inheritors are already in the position to go collect right after the lova, which is a good position to be in. The lova died, and the inheritors come up, but they were first able to get from the inheritor.
It's a good position now, because that's what the star says.
Yeah. So now let's shift it. Let's say now that the borrower dies first, and then the lender dies afterwards. That will change everything the opposite, and you'll see why. If the borrower dies first, so right at that point, before anything else happens, who's going to be dealing with who?
The lender goes after the heirs.
The lender's going after the heirs. Now, even though the lender has a shtar, but now we've already put a whole new spin on this now. Because once you go direct, when the person wants the money, wants to go after the heirs, there's already a whole thing that you got to make an oath no matter what you want to do to collect from kids. That's a whole different kind of an oath now. That's nothing to do with the guy that's one. It's not the same oath that the lender makes to the borrower. It's a whole different oath of wanting to collect from inheritors who we know they don't know anything to begin with. We already take the inheritor's side. Already plug in instantly. You have to make an oath to get anything here. And that's what the position the father, the borrower, is in, even if it's only for an hour. When the borrower died, and the lender now wants to go directly to the inheritors, no matter what, even with a shtar. But now they can't talk for themselves, so to speak, for the father. So now he has to make an oath right away. Now that is a much more severe oath that has to be made. Then what happens? Now the lender dies, and now we brought it down to the level of the inheritors against inheritors. But it started off different than in Halacha Beis. You see, in Halacha Beis, it was the children going after the lender, and then it goes down to inheritors. Now it's what? That the borrower, the lender was going after the children, which already requires a different type of oath, and now he dies, and he would love to let that oath be one that his kids could make to them. But that ain't gonna be, because a big machlokas in the Gemara, if it works that way. Look at this. Ein yorshe malva, the children of the lender, notli miyorshe l'chum, they can't collect a penny from the inheritors at all. Even if they're willing to make an oath that their father never told them they paid, they can't collect the thing. Why? It's based on a big machlokas in the Gemara of Elazar and Shmuel of the following rule. Why? Rambam, we're going to hold like one side. Shebishah shemes halova, that once the lova dies, and he died first, the borrower died first, already nischayev ha-malva lishava, the malva, in order to collect, he has to swear because now he wants to collect from orphans. That's the only way he can get, because orphans don't know anything. Even with a shtar and with everything, we have no recourse here. Kamoshma has already explained earlier in past halachas, number of chapters ago. Ukvar mace, but the father dies. Once the father dies, here's a machlokas in the Gemara, and we paskin like the following. Can a father bequeath cash to his children? Can he bequeath an oath that he could have made? Can he bequeath that to his children? When the father, the lender, was alive, he was in a position, he could have made an oath to the children because he has a shtar and collect. He can bequeath the shtar to the kids, but he can't bequeath the oath to the kids. And therefore, once the borrower died, the lender had to make an oath. Now that the lender is dead, a man cannot bequeath an oath to his children. Money, yes, but an oath not. And not only to children, but to any inheritors. Why? And here we say, she'enim yecholim lehishavei, because now they can't, and here, there's nothing that they can swear. Before, when the father died first, the lender died first,
no.
The borrower died, no, the lender died lender. Before, the lender. I was lender. Right, why'd you say no? The lender just died first, now we're taking the kid's side to go against the grown-up.
Right.
So then we let him swear. But now that it reversed, they don't have that opportunity.
They swear as far as we know.
That was when their father died. Yeah. The lender died. Yeah. But now that the borrower died first, it was the lender got into a worse position because he has to go against
the weaker position
because the kids. So now he can't transfer the oath to the kids. And she'em yuchal lishava shalom afir. They can't swear that the father didn't pay anything. And we're not going to give them this other oath. We don't know anything about him because they're already in a much weaker, the father himself was in a weaker position. Now this is a machlokas in the Gemara. Other rabbi says, no, the father could bequeath the oath to the kids. We paskin that the father cannot bequeath the oath to the kids. Only that oath can he bequeath. And therefore they cannot collect. He doesn't know how to react.
I just want to clarify something, but I think you want to ask.
But I'm just trying to understand, like...
Do you hear the difference of which one dies first?
I understand the difference, but I don't understand why the kids of the lender, the heirs of the lender, who have a shtar, can't say, like they would have done the other way around.
Because there's a special... Because when you want to collect from kids first, that shtar isn't good enough. You got to make an oath that you know it was not collected. They can't do that anymore because that collection from the father wanted to be from the Yorshim. And he has to say, I know you didn't collect it. It's a special oath we make to protect the Yorshim. Those kids can't make it. Now, before we let the kids of the lender do it to protect them from the adult. But here, we didn't start it off that way. And since we didn't start it off that way, they're not in that position to make
that
oath.
It's all a matter of order.
The store doesn't retain its power.
But they can only collect because they have to be able to swear. We know it wasn't collected, and they can't swear. But the bays were easy on them, said to the best of our knowledge, because they were going to collect from an adult, and then we take it easier on him. But here, since then,
I just want to go back one step.
It doesn't seem right.
What are they going to do? What are they going to swear?
The borrower messed up by not retrieving the shtar, and he died. So
we say for the heirs, for them to have to pay out, the collector has to be very sure and has to make an oath of positivity. So now you can't pass that oath on to those who inherit. That oath, now they're going to say, to the best of our knowledge, that's not good enough to collect from them. It's not good enough, because that was what the father was in a position where he's collecting from the kids, that was not a strong position. Before, it was the kids collecting from the other father. So now it depends who's getting protected first, who's in the protected position first.
I just want to clarify one quick thing. The first step is quick now. When the borrower died and the lender hasn't died yet.
The borrower died. So now the adult lender wants to collect from the kids.
So here's a shtar.
At that position already, we now impose a special oath to protect those children.
So he takes the oath, and then he collects from the orphan.
He could do that.
The big problem is
he
now
could do that.
Died.
He didn't die. Exactly. He has the shtar, and he knows what's going on. Okay. That's okay. But now that he died, he can't bequeath the oath.
Okay, could I ask?
So now you got a shtar. What are the kids going to say? To the best of our knowledge, well, that's not good enough to collect from
and
kids.
Certainly, if the lender couldn't collect without an oath, then the kids
can't either. And their oath is not a strong oath anymore. Yeah.
So, could I ask my question now?
Yeah.
Okay, I waited patiently. The issue is that if the borrower passes away, so now the lender has the obligation to collect from the Yosomim.
Correct.
But with a special oath, even though he has a shtar.
That's right. To protect
now,
the
Yosomim. As he's dying and he hasn't collected yet, and he says on his deathbed,
I didn't collect from the orphans.
What happens then? Because that has special power.
I don't know.
Because we said how... We just
I don't know.
Said
I don't know.
Is that a good question?
That's a good question.
I don't know. I get all that. I understand why we're
giving this. Well, they're both
orphans. The root cause of the whole situation is that the lender did not take the shtar back. So therefore, his kid should inherit that mistake.
No, that's the point.
I'm sorry, the borrower.
You're right. And the Chazal say, no, we don't make the kid suffer
for that.
They
put the line. They
draw
the line
point,
there.
But their father made the mistake.
Good, fine. But you know what? We
protect
them. But there's no one to argue back to them. Yes. When a guy comes and is going to lie, it's different to lie. If I lie to the guy I cheated, it's one thing. But for me to lie to kids I didn't cheat to, it's easier for me to want to do that. So everyone make an oath.
The other issue
there
is...
There's a number of issues. You have to, Chazal had to balance. On the one hand, what's the guy doing with the oath? You're right. But then we have to protect the inheritors. So yes, with a perfect world, Shelley, we would have, half the Ramos would not be necessary. All right? So now we have to weigh, we're weighing. In a perfect world, the one with the star is in a good position. But now when you want to collect from kids, okay, you're still in a good position because all you got to do is make an oath and you get it. The father, but now that you're dead, now we got to protect them and it becomes more difficult for the inheritors. I understand. So we have to go in the order of how things went. And that's what we're bequeathing to the children in that order. Okay, so what's the law again? The children of the lender cannot collect.
Right.
But remember, it's a machlokas in the Gemara. There's another opinion that says they could.
Because he passed down his oath.
Right. The other ones say he could pass it. Now what happens now if the judge renders incorrect on the psak halacha? What if him over a dying, the dying looks at everything that's going on and he says, you know what? Yeah, I'll let the kids of the lender make an oath and collect.
He goes like the other rabbi.
Well, he didn't. He blew the halacha. Rambam told us what the halacha is. The judge blew the halacha. Okay, he blew the halacha. You know, he learned the Gemara, but he forgot how we paskin. He rendered it incorrect according to halacha. Now it's not terrible. It's not like out of the blue, totally wrong. There was an opinion, but we don't hold of it. So if the dayan makes a mistake, vishbiya yorshimava makes the children of the lender make the oath. They go and they collected the money, and now they got it. Now we say, Amos, we don't take it back from them. Because at least there is an opinion that it could be relied on. Now, once we know that, 1 minute, Lafiko, therefore, now let's take a look at the question now. Shtarkov shall yisom, if you've got a debt of orphans, haboyim lepermisim that want to collect from orphans, shemes avim alova trila, when the borrower died first, right? So you might say, well, they can't collect, right? Well, no. Well, they don't collect, but we don't do anything yet. And Karina, so we don't rip up the shtar, magbo, and we don't collect with it either, yet. And Gomba, we don't collect with it, because a man can't bequeath those to his kids, so they can't collect. But vein cornice, we don't rip it, and Shelley really won't like this. You don't rip it up either, you know why? Because a judge could render, judge incorrectly, and then they could collect with it. Wow. And then it would be acceptable. If we don't rip that up. Ooh. And that, to me, even I have trouble with that.
Wow.
Because why would we say that? Just rip it up.
Because you're setting up for a challenge, a big problem here. You're setting up for a problem.
Because maybe that judge would rule according to the minority opinion. I would say rip it up and don't have them so there's no ability to rule with the minority opinion.
We don't want this minority opinion.
Well, it's not only that. It's an erroneous decision, but it's a minority
And there's
opinion.
No commentary on this whole last half of the Rambam.
So if the judge made this erroneous decision.
And he collected, and they keep it.
So wait, and the money hadn't transferred yet.
Then he doesn't get it.
Okay, so it's only if you don't push the money
back.
Hands,
hands.
Because at least there was an opinion to rely on.
Yeah. You're right. Yeah.
So you keep going to court, you keep going to another base in, until you finally win?
No. If it already got taken.
If it goes to court once, the judge will take it.
But anyway, so that's a tricky end halacha. Even I have trouble with that one, shall we?
You keep it and you just hope you get a...
You hope you get good. Maybe they're too young for us to deal with the case.
They're too young.
They're going to get older. They're going to get older, and we have to allow for all the range of halacha to come out. Okay.
Wow. I don't think it's said, guys.
Well, it was a little bit of a wild night.